Scripture reading this morning you can find in the book of Psalms, reading Psalm 27. Although at the top of the psalm it says a psalm of David, we read this morning as God's word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Dear friends, I'm sure we've all heard it said that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And what people usually mean when they say that is, I see something that's beautiful and you see something that's beautiful, and it doesn't matter if they're not the same. After all, there's no standards of beauty. Everything's about beauty is subjective. And when they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, what they're really saying is, you can't tell me what beautiful is. And yet those same people, when they see the ugliness of sin, ask the question, why doesn't God make it better? Why does God not change this brokenness? Why doesn't God reverse this ugliness? And they might even raise the question, is there anything good at all? Is there anything beautiful at all? Because we all want beautiful in our lives. Except people look and search for beauty in all kinds of ways and places. And some go to extremes, inappropriate places, inappropriate extremes, and what they're chasing becomes evidence of even more ugliness. And yet, as we are here in this world and even here this morning, you drive to church and you recognize it's a bright, beautiful day. There are appropriate places to find beauty. Right? We see it in the sunshine. We see it throughout creation, the colors of the trees, the depth of the sky, the twinkle of the stars. You might see it in the fingers of a newborn or the comfort of a hug. You might see it in things that even other people have made. Some music or some art. There's beauty there. But all these things are as signposts towards a greater beauty. And if we are to understand what beauty is and why it's important, we need to understand the greater beauty. It's a beauty that the psalmist recognized in Psalm 27, verse 4. We read there, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And I want us this morning to focus on that idea in that verse, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And ask ourselves, why would someone desire to see that? It's not just the subjective truth of one psalm singer. The beauty of the Lord can and will fill the eyes of every believer. But have we thought about that, and are we looking for it? Let's ask first this question. What is the beauty of the Lord? It's referred to, and it's like the psalmist just says it and keeps on going. But if we look at the psalm as a whole, we find some clues as to what the beauty of the Lord is. Right? We begin even in the text. Where does the psalmist expect to see this beauty? He says it's a desire to go to the house of the Lord to see this. Now, he's not coming to the temple for the beauty of the architecture, because as a psalm of David, Solomon's temple, the glorious, beautiful temple, is not built yet. And I know temple's used at the end of the verse, because the heavenly king has a home. But it's not the glorious golden temple of Jerusalem that he's referring to. So beauty in David's eyes isn't artistic or architecture first. And then you look at the context of the rest of the psalm. What's driving him to look for beauty? Wickedness? Armies? Being orphaned? False witnesses? See, this is the context. The brokenness and the ugliness of David's world is what drives him to say, "This is my desire. I see the opposite, but the opposite reminds me of what I should be looking for." But you see, that becomes our clue, isn't it? David's difficulties and his desire to inquire in the house of the Lord, it is not about just coming away and escaping life. And it's not David saying, "Oh, it's my ideas of what beautiful is." It's not David saying, "It's in my eyes to behold." It's not whatever he likes. There is something that can capture his vision that is the beauty of the Lord, puts all these other things aside. This beauty is the loveliness and the delightfulness of the Lord. the loveliness and the delightfulness of the Lord. That's why the psalm begins with as it were, this praise. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord's the strength of my life. The light is joy and perfection. The salvation's deliverance. The strength is sturdiness. And when David sees the Lord, that's the glory that he sees. There's joy there. There's perfection there. There's deliverance there. There's strength there. And it's not just abstract for him. You look at verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. That's a secret hiding place. In the time of trouble, he's going to hide me in a hiding place that no one else can find. My enemies aren't going to be able to get me there. It's going to be in the secret place of his tabernacle. Again, it's not to escape life. It's to be protected. He's going to set me high on a rock. You see, we understand then a little bit more of what this beauty of the Lord is. The beauty of the Lord is the loveliness, the delightfulness of the surprising safety in God's presence. And David says, this is what I require. This is more than I require. The beauty of the Lord, the presence of the Lord rather, is lovely. The presence of the Lord is beautiful. The presence of the Lord, the sight of the Lord's presence in my life is more encouraging than people can imagine. It changes everything. Moses experienced this in Exodus 33 and 34 when he had to climb the mountain to receive the law. The Lord covered the mountain with a cloud, and Moses was to go up. And what did Moses see in the cloud? God had said, no man can see me, my face, and live. But he still told Moses to come up the mountain, and he turned Moses around and covered Moses with his hand so that Moses could only see his back. And yet Moses later, as he was coming down the mountain, was shining so much that even Aaron, who was looking at him, had to put a veil, or Moses had to put a veil on so Aaron could look at him. The presence of the Lord changed everything. Moses saw just a glimmer and lived. And yet when he saw just that glimmer, he came down and it changed things. And you see, David here in the psalm can express confidence in the Lord and not be afraid. Does it mean David sees everything? Does it mean David understood God perfectly? No, but he sees a glimmer. And the more he sees, the more he sees that's admirable. Not because God's changing, but because David's eyes are learning to see it and to see more and to see it better. The beauty of the Lord is the delightfulness of God's presence. And seeing that changes everything for this life. Which brings us back to all those signposts that God has left us in this world. The bright sunny days. The delicate orchids. Right? The pillowy clouds. And depending where you live, you see different things. The giant redwoods or the white-capped waves, the sparkle of the tiniest crystals or the warmth of a fire. We see all these things and we so often just focus on the thing and we say, oh, that's beautiful. And we forget the point that there's a creator who made all these beautiful things so that they would be signposts, as it were, to point us to him. We have a creator who appreciates the delicate and the surprising and the tiny things and the ever-changing things. And he surprises us with these things so that we would understand he is here in this world. And he's giving us signs to something greater. His beauty. His delightfulness. You see, it's this pattern of things hinting at greater things. That should open our eyes. The Creator has given us beauty in this world. Remnants. Tiny, tiny, tiny remnants. And we think the beautiful day is beautiful, and it is. But it's just a tiny, tiny glimmer of something that's much greater. And you can't just hear about beauty or the beauty of the Lord. You need to realize. It was after Job's losses, his friends' rebukes, and his own despair, and then the Lord's correction of everybody, that Job answered the Lord. He said, I know you can do everything. I've heard of you by the hearing of my ears. But now my eye sees. He saw the Lord's loving kindness, and he saw the Lord's delightful presence in his life, even when it seemed like everything was going downhill. You see, it's that sight that the psalmist wants. He wants to see the beauty of the Lord. He says in our text, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold's even more than just seeing or glancing. It's more than just the sight of our eyes. To behold is to see and recognize and to contemplate. See, he doesn't just want the sense of it to come into his eyes and his brain says, oh yes, this is beautiful. No, he wants to see it and then think about it. He wants to recognize it and then almost be overwhelmed by it. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. David had past sights of these truths. Right, verse 2. The wicked, even my enemies and my foes, they came upon me to eat me up. I saw they stumbled and fell. And then there's present sight of these beautiful truths. Verse 6. My head shall be lifted up around, above mine enemies around me. The enemies are still there. And they're not just in front of him. No, they're all around him. He goes to work and they're there. He goes to his family and they're there. He goes to another country and they're there. But because he has this desire to see glimmers of the Lord, he will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And you see, this is one of the reasons we sing. It's one of the reasons we sing these psalms. Because this is what the church does. The church is to see and believe what the Lord's doing. It beholds the revelation of spiritual truths of God, and it wants others to be encouraged in these truths. So we share, we sing. This is what God can do. Because we're always aware there's people who aren't seeing it. Maybe they've never saw it. But maybe they've seen it many times and just in this moment they're too afraid. It's too many enemies or it's a new enemy. And so we sing. the prophet Elisha woke up one morning to discover the city was surrounded, right, by horses and chariots and a great army of enemy soldiers. He woke up, his servant woke up too. And his servant was afraid, "Oh, Elisha, what are we going to do?" Elisha saw more. He said, "Don't fear, those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And so often we're like Elisha's servant. I don't see anything. I don't see them. I don't see the help. I'm afraid. And I think you should be afraid too. We read in 2 Kings 6, Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so he can see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. God's chariots that had carried Elijah away into heaven. The sight of what God could do and was doing was enough in the moment. And this is the faith that guides believers to behold the beauty of the Lord. Not just generically, not just factually that it's out there, but I need to behold the beauty of the Lord. Because this will change everything. Look how personal the psalm is here. How many references to me. He shall hide me. He shall set me high. Even as it turns to petition, "You have been my help. Do not leave me. The Lord will take care of me. Teach me." Right? This becomes the heartbeat of the gospel. The marrow that you need to get through life so that you're not distracted by other things that don't matter. These great things that God is doing for others, these great things that other saints are singing about are for me too. I see it. Right, go back to Job. Job expressed, despite all his friends' comments to the contrary, "I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself and my eyes shall behold." But it's not just a future fact. No, Job's response, even in Job 19, is how my heart yearns within me. I see what God is doing. And I'm yearning and anticipating, desiring to see it in the flesh, in its fullest form. Right, you see, this beholding of God, if we can behold God, and if we see His work, His praises, His promises of something greater. This is what I want to see, and this is what I want to see fulfilled. Adam and Eve. Devastated by sin. Dying from that very first moment. Received the promise of the serpent crusher. And what do they see? They see God reversing the curse. But they had such faith they thought it would happen almost immediately. Job saw layers of his skin peel off and he saw the new skin just coming in underneath. What did he see? He saw God restoring his flesh and trusted it was going to happen perfectly so that in his flesh he would see God. David saw his enemies and his haters fall and stumble. What did he see? He saw God taking care of him and he wanted God to give him complete deliverance. Hezekiah saw years added to his life. What did he see? He saw God allowing him to return to worship, but he committed himself to God. Mary and Martha watched Jesus raise their brother. What did they see? Yes, resurrection power, but not just for one man, but for all humanity. Lord, I believe. You are the resurrection and the life. You see, as these saints saw smaller things, glimmers of promises, glimmers of God working in small ways, they saw the greater, they saw the more complete. Which raises a question. If you don't see the small things, how can you anticipate the greater things? If you don't see the glimmers of God's beauty here on earth, how can you expect to love the presence of greater things in glory? You see, David was trusting in this psalm. But he wanted to see more. And this is the saint's heart pulse then, isn't it? I see a little. I want to see more. I see a little of the Lord's beauty. And my prayer is, O Lord, let thy beauty be upon us, establishing, fixing, readying, clarifying our work. And as I see it in a little glimmer, pray for the day. It's complete and perfect. And you see, when we realize this reality, that true beauty is in the delightfulness and the presence of the Lord, all of the signposts we have on earth are just that, signposts to a greater beauty. We like sunny days. We look forward to the next sunny day. But do we desire to behold the beauty of the Lord? Right? Do we anticipate? Do we desire it? The sad reality is not everybody has this desire. Some people are content with just the signposts because they don't even know what the signs are pointing to. They just see, oh, this is something that's marked beautiful. It's beautiful. What's the opposite of desiring? Not desiring. And what's the opposite then of desiring to see the beauty of the Lord? It's not desiring to see the beauty of the Lord. But we could also say the opposite of desiring to see the beauty of the Lord is being content with the ugliness. The destruction of sin that's all around us. And who wants to admit, I'm content seeing that? You see, David saw enemies and he wasn't content with seeing enemies. He saw things being destroyed. He saw, as it were, the shadow of things. But he wasn't content with that. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. This is the thing I'm going to desire. This is the thing I am desiring. Other people can have their one thing. This is mine. God's presence in such a powerful and delightful way that every day, this is the focus. I desire to see the beauty of the Lord in such a way that all the other things fall away. Right? Parents, this is why you should very eagerly take your children to church regularly, consistently. Because this is where God reveals himself. This is where we see God, not just with tiny, tiny signposts, but with bigger signposts. This is where we hear of God's work. And you want them to see God and you want them to hear of God's work. But then realize God's given life and opportunity to see him. That should just amaze us. Amaze David even. Verse 8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is the desire then. To go to God, to ask to see him, to realize he calls you to seek. Even as you go out and do your daily things, you can seek him. You can seek his beauty. It shouldn't be abstract for us. It's not abstract for David. Right? Though an army make camp against me, though war rises up against me, in this I will be confident. The delightfulness of God's presence is real. The little things of deliverance become grand things of deliverance. Regardless of what's going on in your life, you desire to see the beauty of God in a dark world. You might say, but you're just a visiting pastor. You don't know me. You don't know my struggles. Well, here's the thing. We all struggle. But seeing through struggle. What does the psalmist say? I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Not just in the future, in the land of the living. Right? Some of the beauty and the goodness of God is already now. I believe it's now, but I desire to see it even more now. Yes, there's tiny signposts, but I need to see more of them because they're all over. And they point me. I need more reminders to be pointed to that eternal, unchanging goodness that I will see with my own eyes. See little things now. See the tenderest of flowers. I want to see the Creator who is so aware of fragile things. See the grandest, the oldest of trees. I want to see the Creator who's more enduring than all those trees. More powerful than the mountains. More overwhelming than the waterfalls. I desire to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Spurgeon said it this way, Lord, I want to see more of thy love. If thy love is an endless ocean, I want to see how wide it is. It's already endless. But I want to see how endless thy love is. I want to see how bottomless of an ocean thy love is. And if I could, I want to see that even if I was at the bottom of the ocean, I would and was able to keep swimming up and up and up and up. I would never reach the surface waves of that ocean because your love just keeps going higher and higher and higher. I want to comprehend. With all the believers, what is the height and the depth of the love? And I want to see all these signposts that remind me to think that way and to look that way. Because I don't always see it that way. But this is my one desire. You see, instead of saying truth or beauty is all subjective, I'm going to write my own boundaries. I want to see true beauty, Lord. And instead of seeing celebrations of destruction, I want to see life. Instead of question marks, I want to see exclamation marks that you give goodness and grace. And all the bits and all the glimmers would grow. So that I would desire to see you more. More consistently. In more things. In more of my life. In more of Scripture. In more of my meditations. A desire to behold this beauty. Do you know what the greatest marvel is? This is what Jesus is interceding for. John 17. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Jesus is praying that his people would behold that same glory. And you see, that's why even as we wait, even as saints wait for Christ's return, dwelling in the presence of God is so important. This is why you need to inquire in his temple. This is why you need to come to church. This is why you need to sing together, pray together, hear his word together, see the sacraments together. These are glimmers of what God is doing. And the world flashes shadows at you, but here's the blinks of beauty. So that as you go out into a culture that says God doesn't exist, you can say with confidence, I know he exists. I've seen his beautiful work. I'm looking forward to the day, desiring the day, when faith will be sight. Because beauty will be in the eye of those beholding God. There's beauty coming when all the ugliness and sadness is over. The subjective erased, the objective clear. And there is coming a day when every believer will look into the eyes of God in Christ and know his presence. Full, safe, glorious, delightful presence. All the glimmers were just that. Glimmers. Right? The half of his beauty wasn't told to us. It'll be more pronounced than the most plain promise. But are you going to live with that desire? The desire to see it, to contemplate it, so that that frames everything you do and everything that confronts you. You say, it's not here yet. You know, how long, Lord? How long? How does the psalm conclude? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The waiting's with expectation. It's not, you know, the waiting we do in the doctor's office or in the airport. You know, tap the feet. Get impatient. Now, this is the waiting beside the train tracks, looking down the train tracks, knowing
that the train is coming because you can just hear it. But you haven't seen it yet. I desire to see the full reality. And so wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen.